Happy day after Labor Day, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, which is the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. And everything we do is over at ace-ed.org, including archiving this podcast and our wonderful magazine. We hope you go over there, check out our magazine, Equity in Access, our online journal. That's over at ace-ed.org. That's open to everybody. You can join with us if you want. We're starting a new additional site called SEL Today. That's at seltoday.org if you want to check that out. All right, and that's just a brand new one, so we're putting that together, but there's enough on there that will make it very interesting to you at seltoday.org and also ace-ed.org. All right, we've got a wonderful guest with the Cook Center today. All right, I've got my old friend Ann Brown. For some reason, I have one guest and two numbers open, so I'm going to – I don't know which number she is. Let's see if she's this one. Hold on. Okay, Ann, is that you?
Hi, Larry, that is me, and the other person is Terry Thorin, so we should add him.
Oh, calling from two – okay, I didn't know he was going to call in. Thank you. That's great. Let me bring him on. I was going to hang up on him. Hold on. Does he want to listen or talk? Ann.
He's going to talk. He's going to talk.
Okay. Here he is. Let me bring him on then. Hold on. There we go. Hi, Terry. It's Larry here.
Good morning, Larry.
How are you? I didn't know you were coming. I would have baked a cake.
I would have listened to that whole music longer.
There you go. You were on for a while there. I do appreciate it. I'm glad you're here, Terry. It wasn't on my sheet, so I'm just thrilled. Let's introduce you guys, okay? Ann Brown is the CEO and president of the Cook Center, Cook Center for Human Connection. We're going to talk about teen suicide prevention, which when I say that, it makes me sick in the stomach. Okay, that we not only that there are a lot too, not only that there are teen suicides, that there are far too many teen suicides, and we have to get this under control. All part of SEL. Again, we're going to talk to you, Ann, about working with us with our SEL today. Social emotional learning, it's so important. And tell us about the Cook Center. And then I want you, if you don't mind, to introduce Terry. And Terry, would you tell, when Ann does that, tell us about what you do, the great animation work you've done. Let's start with Ann, Cook Center. Go, Ann. Madam President, go ahead.
Thank you. Well, and actually, Terry and I are doing an exciting project together, so that's why he's on.
Exactly.
So the Cook Center for Human Connection is a nonprofit focused on preventing youth suicide and supporting family mental health. We're based in Utah, and we're funded by a wonderful family named Greg and Julie Cook, who are some of the founders of doTERRA. And through their generous donations, we've been able to partner with Terry Thorin. Terry's a 40-year animation expert with, a wonderful Hollywood pedigree with Rugrats and Wild Thornberries and some of those wonderful shows. And a number of years ago, Terry stepped away from that to begin using animation for good and for social change. And one of those projects we've been able to do together is an animated web series called My Life is Worth Living. It's available for free on YouTube. So youtube.com/My Life is Worth Living. And it's a set of animations that are designed so that children can see themselves and see that they are not the only ones experiencing these feelings and these emotions and these problems. They can see that other children or teens experience these issues as well. And we show them where they can find help, and we also show the helpers how they can help. So it's this wonderful animation that Terry's really been behind. We funded it. Terry's been the genius behind it.
He is the genius behind it. And let me, I'll go to Terry, okay, if I may. And again, everybody, cookcenter.org. Terry, again, welcome to the show. This is serious stuff, but I want people to understand about you. Okay, and you and did a pretty good job. The Wild Thornberries, Rugrats. Is that just talk about your life in animation and what took you to do an animation about this?
Well, back in the day when we were making family value shows, we learned the power of our characters to motivate children to want to buy our toys and our candy and our Happy Meals. And extend the experience in any way possible with our merchandise. And then when Nickelodeon made the decision and all the other networks to produce shows more like SpongeBob SquarePants, which are hilarious, kooky, fun, or cartoon anarchy, you know, our company focuses more on storytelling. And so we made the decision to produce a series to connect with kids with autism. And that when we saw how children with autism actually copied the stories and copied the behaviors of our characters, we realized that we could take on really difficult subjects like preventing sex abuse, taking on teen pregnancy, and preventing teen suicide. And so this series, to prevent teen suicide, models different approaches to, because there's a spectrum of challenges that kids today are faced with. And, you know, animation, as we all know, worldwide, knows no borders, knows no race, religion, culture, creed. And the same with that, and same with suicide. So YouTube is the perfect place for these animations to sit. And the Cook Center for Human Connection made the decision to not go to Netflix, to not go to Hulu, to not go to Apple Plus, but to put them on YouTube so that they would be free of charge 24 hours a day on a cell phone, on any device, if a teenager is in trauma.
They're good people, aren't they, over there, and they really do care. And they got my friend Ann, who I've been doing shows with for years. It's just wonderful. It's sad, and again, it's My Life is Worth Living, everybody, and it's youtube.com/My Life is Worth Living, all right? You can just go over there. Of course, everybody knows how to Google and all that sort of stuff, so you can find this. It says, Terry, let me stick with you, and by the way, you mentioned your company. The company is called Wonder Media. And I assume you produce those shows you were talking about. Am I correct?
Yeah, we produce. Klasky Chupo produced the Rugrats and the Wild Thornberries. Wonder Media is a company we formed 12 years ago to make difficult subjects easy to talk about.
And
so,
I appreciate you
Klasky
doing
Chupo,
that.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really. And are you an artist or are you a writer or both?
I'm a producer. Mm-hmm. I've done everything known to man in animation through the history of my career. I've learned that I can get more done if I build a team for each project and manage the team, help the team get the resources, you know, form the partnership with the doctors and the scientists who are the experts, because Wonder Media is not an expert on suicide prevention. We have a team of experts led by Dr. James Mazza, and they take on the intention. What is the intention of the story? And nothing we do does not go through them for their approval before we go from the idea to the outline to the script to the storyboard to the animatic. Everything we do goes through experts. So we don't claim to be the expert.
You're not the experts, but you are the experts in getting the message out there, okay, and doing it right and making it have an impact. Yeah. Great. Yeah,
character design, voice acting, music, animation. We're very good at producing state-of-the-art animation that you could find on Netflix or on Cartoon Network.
Absolutely.
But our goal is to connect with the scientists, to connect with the doctors, find out what the problem is, and use animated stories that we know that kids have grown up with animation, they love animation, they will migrate to animation quickly.
Absolutely. I must ask, My Life is Worth Living is being touted as the first animated series about suicide prevention. So I'll ask Ann, and she can swing it back to Terry. Ann, is it a series or is it a movie? Are all the shows up there now, or do they come out once a week? I'm just thinking, you know, when people think of a streaming series, so to speak, how's this one work? Because you're calling it a series. An animated series.
So it is a series. Since it's on YouTube, it's in bite-sized chunks, so every episode is only 4 minutes long. Each four episodes tell the story of one character. So we have there's a lot of math in here, Terry or Larry. We have a lot. So we have five characters. Each character has four episodes, and that tells their story. And the characters all are dealing with one of the five major reasons why a child considers taking their life. So So our first character, Amy, is a child who's depressed. She looks like her life is perfect, but secretly she's depressed and really struggles with confidence and inadequacy and things like that, trying to be perfect all the time. She's previously had a suicide attempt, and in our story, she's working to kind of get her life back, to get reincorporated with her family and with school and with her boyfriend, and how do you come back from this traumatic event? So that's our Amy story, and all of Amy's episodes are up right now, so people can see her story start to finish. Just quickly, our other characters, we have Dante, who's an LGBTQ youth, and he knows who he wants to be, but he doesn't know how to be that person to other people. And so he's struggling with his identity and where he wants to go as he makes the next step into his life, into college. And our third character is Kyle, and Kyle is a high school soccer player who, through a series of events in a game, ends up being cyberbullied. The cyberbullying pushes him into substance abuse, and he just kind of spirals from there. But all of our characters have helpers that help them. Like in Kyle's case, it's his father who reveals that he's also experienced some of these issues in his life. Our fourth character is Danny, and Danny's actually based on a true story. Danny has experienced a physical trauma through a fire, and he feels like a burden, and that you know, this new normal is not a normal that he necessarily wants to continue with his life. And his helpers become his little brother, who shows him that he still has value and still has a valuable life, and his physical therapist and occupational therapist, who you know, shows him that you know, you can live with the physical issues that he's now facing. And our fifth character is Emily, and Emily is experiencing sexual abuse in the home from her mother's fiance, and she's afraid to let her mother know that this is happening, because she doesn't want to mess with her mother's happiness. But then, of course, she's terrified to be at home, and so she ends up revealing her story to her best friend's mother, and her best friend's mother, you know, helps her tell her own mother, and then her mother does exactly what we'd love a mother to do when a girl reveals this, is that she believes her, she gets her out of the situation. And, you know, the boyfriend is actually taken to court and done some things. But all done in a way, this sounds so dark, but it's all done in a way that these are engaging characters, and everything is hopeful.
Of course it is. And again, the animation allows us to do that to a greater degree than anything else does. I must ask you, and you kind of touched on this because you said it was one of the fourth one was a I think it was Danny was a you know, victim of a physical challenge and of a fire. As you went down that list of reasons why kids would commit suicide, is that your basic list? Okay, as to the rationales and the reasons, you know, knowing what you know about all this. And by the way, Anne spends her life, okay, trying to help kids doing this with the Cook Center. Go ahead.
I do.
Yeah, you do.
So we rely, as Terry mentioned, we rely on experts. Everything we do at the Cook Center, we have a clinical director behind. So with My Life is Worth Living, we have Dr. James Mazza from University of Washington as our clinical director And so he's really who helped us determine, you know, what are some of the major causes of a child attempting to take their life. And those are five of the big ones, right? It's LGBTQ youth.
I won't even ask what we missed.
And, you know, kids experiencing depression, sexual abuse. These are all the major issues why children consider taking their life.
It's just so astounding. What age group? And actually, I'll ask Terry. Terry, you still there?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, what age group are we talking about here? The kids. By the way, if you go to, I'm at cookcenter.org. And if you go over there, you'll see it's a big icon, and you'll see all these characters, the animated characters. These are teenagers, or young teenagers, perhaps. One older seems one younger. But is that what we're dealing with? Is this a high school thing? Terry, I'm going to ask you this. When you looked at this, who's it aimed to?
Well,
there's all that noise
the
in the back. What's banging around? Somebody's banging something around back there.
The characters are high school aged, but we know that young people like stories featuring older characters.
Ah,
so any kid from junior high to high school, and even kids transitioning to college, transitions are tough.
Hmm.
And there's a lot of pressure on kids when they go to college, especially if they have to get a student loan and excel and work at the same time. So we're suffering from a pandemic, as we all know, from COVID,
really?
Then the Delta comes along,
and
all this, imagine the kids being locked up for 18 months and not being with their friends and not being able to participate in football, not be able to be a cheerleader, not be able to be in the school play, not be able to be in the band, and they're stuck at home, so that's depressing. So I know that we're trying to transition back into school, but with the Delta variant, there's other challenges that we're faced with.
Yeah,
and not everybody agrees on how we should live day to day. And at the same time, we've got floods on the East Coast and fires on the West Coast and hurricanes and tornadoes. And kids are going, wow, we have a lot to overcome. And people are screaming, code red, climate change. And it's just a very tough time to be a teenager. It's a very,
very
tough
time, period.
And the most important thing is that what we've done in these stories is we've modeled that we all have a story we tell ourselves when we're alone, right, in our room. We all have a second voice in our head that talks to us. It's called thinking about your thinking, right? Actually realizing that you're telling yourself a story and talking to yourself and getting yourself out of that spiral that goes down into a place that is hard to recover from. So what we've done in every episode is every one of our characters has a second voice in their head, and they're battling with that second voice, and they all overcome that second voice, and we all have the ability to overcome that second voice. But we're using the stories to model a positive approach to reaching out to somebody and talking, because we can't – look, even the title My Life is Worth Living is a tough title, right? People are, oh, my God, depressing. I want to listen. I want to watch something happy. Right? But we're trying to show what hope looks like, model what it looks like when you find someone you trust and talk to them, and show that when you talk to somebody, it gets better. But you can't – don't stay alone in your room. Don't lock yourself in your room on your cell phone, right? And, don't allow yourself to spiral down that negativity that's out there. Look for positive things and look for a positive person and work your way out of it. And it's hard work, right? And it takes time. But it's also hard work on our part. Every adult out there, we all need to be looking for symptoms, and we need to talk to people and say, are you okay? Are you okay? Because I'm here for you if you want to talk.
Yep. Terry, you're dead on right. So, Anne, let me swing to you. How do you foresee educators using this? And educator is a broad term, teachers, homeroom teachers, school psychologists, school counselors, et cetera. Where do you see the parents? Where do you see this?
So we're working right now on a curriculum that goes along with each episode, and that'll be available for free on our website as well. So there is a curriculum, but it's interesting. It'll be interesting of whether or not teachers are able to take on this topic. It may be more through counselors. I was a classroom teacher, and I don't know that I would have felt equipped to take it on. I would probably rely more on my counseling staff to do that. It's a tough topic. I'll give a personal example. When I was first approached to take on this work, I was so honored to think about it and to be able to step into this role. But I knew that Terry, because I'd known him for a number of years, was maybe 2 or 3 months before I had been offered this role, I had seen Terry posting on suicide. And my first reaction was, oh, I wonder what's happened. And And I did not pick up the phone and call him and check on him and see what had happened. I was in full avoidance. And then I was offered this position, and I thought, well, I've got to call Terry now. And so I called him, and come to find out he was working on this because of the gentleman, Gabe Alvarado, who is our Danny character. That's why Terry had started the work. But well, the thing is I know that feeling of avoidance. That's where I'm coming from
yeah,
this.
I
know how hard it is to talk about it because I experienced that myself. And so what we want to do is make it so that conversations can be had. And if teachers do nothing but show the videos and ask a couple of the discussion questions or something like that, you know, that's a great step along the way.
It really is. And your point,
creating a full curriculum.
Yeah, and your point about, others avoiding the issue. You may see something's wrong with somebody, but you're scared to bring it up. Or people
right.
may need your help. And you're scared. You know, it's avoidance. You use the word. Okay? Because you really don't know how to react. And I have a feeling your life is worth living. Well, give people good guidance on how to interact with people who may be contemplating such a terrible thing or maybe in the throes of some terrible, internal disaster, whatever. So to me, it's going to be fairly important to talk about this and share it among appropriate students, all right? And this is appropriate right across the board to me. It just makes sense. And it's one of the things that's going on. We constantly are asking teachers to do things that they're not trained to do, all right? They're not trained to handle these things. Like you said, that's a school counselor's job or a school psychologist. But the challenge is there aren't enough of those people. Okay,
right.
And the teachers, which are doing a great job, are, they need a resource like this, okay, so that they know how
resource,
to move it forward and help. Yeah, go ahead.
If all
I think
you do
it's,
is
what you're doing
show,
is great.
Every episode ends on hope.
Yeah.
And if you string all four episodes together, so if you showed Amy's entire story, it's 16 minutes.
Exactly,
and
yeah,
by
I was just going to say 20 minutes, yeah. Yeah.
Right. And so by the end of it, they're not healed at the end because you don't just heal from mental health. You don't heal from trauma. What you do is you learn acceptance and how to work with it.
That's right.
And by the end, everyone ends on hope. And we're very careful to not be triggering, to not show, we don't show any methodology. We don't even talk about a methodology. We're just really, as Terry said, talking about their negative voice. And everyone has that. Everyone has that feeling of a negative voice inside their head. And so I think that any teacher could feel comfortable showing this from sixth grade to 12th grade. And then we even have colleges that have reached out to us, and we're going to be doing film festivals in colleges.
I agree with the college thing because this transition, especially this year and last, is absolutely horrendous. Okay, and the burdens of a young college student, especially first-generation kids, all right, it's just brutal this year, all right? And we're just going to have to, live through it and chin up and all that sort of thing. It's just, wow, it's just amazing what you're doing. I want to talk to you, Anne. You're the expert on this. What are you hearing about, and I realize it's very young in the school year, but what are you hearing this year, and Terry touched on it. I was just reading New York Times that school board meetings are going nuts because masked, unmasked. Okay, Kentucky's having to close schools, Idaho as well. Okay, because of intense, with the Delta and all that. Okay, it's very bad out there right now. It's mixed up. It's hard, and all this is going to hit on teen suicide for some kids. It's brutal out there, and then coming back from COVID. Talk to me, Anne. What are the statistics right now? What are you hearing?
A couple of things that I think are interesting. One thing is most people are saying this is a harder school year than last school year. Most people in the education system.
Yep, agreed.
There's more uncertainty. It's this divide between mask, not mask, that kind of thing. Vaccination, not vaccination. I think it's bringing people in with even more uncertainty. Last year's uncertainty was an unknown. This year's uncertainty is is different, I think, in some way. One of the things that has come out of last year with the lockdown is we actually had less teen suicide last year. That's what the experts are saying. And they're attributing it to the fact that families were spending more time together and you were sort of stuck in a place, you know. And so who's to say what this year is, but I'm concerned. Obviously, I'm very concerned that this uncertainty and that and we're going to miss that lack of connection because families aren't, you know, locked in together like they were before.
Right.
I'm afraid that this year is going to be higher. I hope not.
I hope you're wrong, but you're usually not. You're usually not. Okay. And we just, teachers, you know, that's who our audience is. It's educators, pre-K-12. And they have to be, and they are, I don't mean to talk down to them, but they have to be extremely aware this year, okay, of what's going on, because this year is turning out to be brutal, at least so far. Hopefully it'll settle down, okay, but who knows, you know, and I think what you guys are doing is just so important. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Good. I just Googled you. I went to your LinkedIn profile while we were talking, and you described, I love this, and because this is our business, you described Wonder Media as an ed tech company, okay, that
yes.
produces engaging content for students, I'm reading here, at risk in all grade levels. Have you, what else, go back over what you've done for educators. Okay, and beyond My Life is Worth Living. I just want people to understand the power of what you guys do. I think it's just great. You're all about social-emotional learning, which is what we're all about here. Go ahead.
First, we created Wonder Grove Social Skills to model appropriate behavior in the classroom. My sister is a special needs teacher,
she's going to heaven. All special ed teachers go to heaven.
She's an angel for sure.
Yeah, well, she's already there.
And I asked her, I said, so what are your four biggest challenges? She said, well, really, like, keep your hands to yourself. Don't talk when the teacher's talking. Raise your hand before you speak and stand quietly in line. I said, okay, well, I'll model that in a story. So if a kid watches Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles before school or Power Rangers, they're going to hit each other. If a kid is in the classroom and sees that our characters are talking to each other in a story about why they need to stand quietly in line or why I don't want you to touch me all day, please keep your hands to yourself. Then the other characters will copy it, but then it gives the teacher, by having an animated story, a second voice in the classroom. So when the behavior presents itself, they can say, what did we learn the other day when Maria was poking at Dee? Yes, right, Maria didn't like it. Or what did we learn when Chris and Peter were acting out when they were standing in line, right? They were disruptive. So we can talk about it, and we can separate the behavior from the person, which is really what we do with all of our stories, is separating behavior from the person. Because some people confuse that when you act out, oh, you're a bad person. No, that's just my behavior. I'm a good person. We're all born good, right? But I may have learned certain behavior, which can be amended, right, by modeling in a story. What does good behavior look like, right? What does it look like when we want to have appropriate classroom behavior? Then Dr. Art Costa and Dr. Benna Kalik with the 16 Habits of Mind approached us,
yep.
And we partnered with them and worked for 2 years on bringing the 16 Habits of Mind to life as animated stories. And
wow.
Both Wonder Grove Social Skills and the 16 Habits of Mind have a full complement of extension lessons that align to 85% of the Common Core state standards. So all we want to do is start the conversation. Everything that we produce starts the conversation. So from there, when we saw how effective we were, I went to the Barbara Schnatter Children's Center and I said, I think that we can be effective at preventing sex abuse. So we created a series called the Protect Yourself Rules. And if you go to fightchildabuse.org, you'll find them. And now they've been seen by 400 million people worldwide, and they're yeah. mandatory viewing for every scout on the planet. You have to watch all of our Protect Yourself Rules, and then you complete a test. And when you complete the test, you get a merit badge for your sesh. That's like having a security camera in your front yard that says, I know how to protect myself. So now that and all the research that we did on that inspired us to focus on teen sex abuse. And we realized that that research was the danger zone for kids is in middle school when they make the transition from being with teachers all day long, the same teacher in a classroom in elementary school. Now they're moving around in elementary school from class to class, and I'm in seventh grade, or maybe in some cases sixth grade, and the eighth and ninth graders look like adults. Whoa. And
yeah,
now
yeah,
we're
yeah,
under
yeah,
all
yeah.
kinds of pressure, all kinds of social pressure. I become self-aware. My body's going through changes. I'm starting to get teased. It's tough. Transitions are tough. So we decided with everything that we do from pre-K to 12th grade is to focus on areas that are difficult to talk about, model appropriate behavior, separate behavior from person. Everybody is a good person. We have to look at their behavior and address their behavior, and we have to talk about it. We can't just push it aside and have 30 kids in the classroom,
exactly,
and I don't
right.
have that. I don't have time for that 30th kid. I'm going to focus on the top 1 through 10 who are the high achievers that make me look good as a teacher, and the other ones are going to be pushed to the back of the classroom. I'm not saying teachers do that. I'm saying that in classrooms that I was in
it can happen.
It can happen.
Yeah,
teachers today
to
have the hardest job. They have the hardest job on the planet. They should be paid what doctors are paid, our teachers. Right? I mean, we drop our kids off, and we're supposed to feed them, socialize them, educate them, and manage them, and then send them home, and then have it all broken again with social media and chaos, and then send back to class, which is the only quiet time they have in their day. When you think about it, there's 168 days in a week, 168 hours in a week.
Yeah.
Right? We figure kids
yep.
are sleeping 56 hours. We hope if they get 8 hours of sleep a day, and they have 40 hours in school, that means they have 72 hours of free time. And most kids are spending most of their 72 hours in free time on a device of some kind, as opposed
sure
to
are.
You know, going outside and play. So if you get them involved in sports, get them involved in the band, in cheerleading, in theater, in music, get them involved in something where they're forced to put their cell phone down, that's good for all of us.
I love what you're doing, and I'm going to talk to you more about this. I'm going to call you. I have your number now. Can I call you and talk to you about this? I love what you're doing.
Sure, of course. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, really, this is great stuff. How'd you ever find this guy, Ann? How do you know him? Ann Brown.
You know, I found him through our good friend Mort Sherman.
Oh, for goodness' sake!
And
good. I was just talking about Mort the other day.
I met Terry. I believe it was about 7 years ago. We were at an AASA national conference, and we sat down in a busy, busy area, and he pulled out his computer, and he showed me one of the animations that he was doing with Ben Akalik, and myself and my colleague
yeah.
we were with, we watched it, and both of us were just tearing up because we could
oh.
see the power of the work he was
wow.
doing, and I've literally spent the last 7 years hoping we could find a way to work together.
Well,
and it's just like everything that I'm doing with Cook Center just feels
yeah
feels
it fits
like
right
it,
in.
It
fits.
Is directed. Well, no, it feels like I'm being directed on what to do. And one of those things is Terry, you know, 2 or 3 months before I started this work, so that when I came in, I said to the Cook family, you know, I have this idea. I have this friend who seems to be working on suicide prevention animation, and the first thing they said is, oh my goodness, our daughter really believes in animation. So it was
sure.
just a coming together of a lot of great minds being able to all put our focus on this work, and of course Terry's, like I said, genius of his team. So it's a very exciting place to be the conduit between
well,
those things.
I'll tell you what you two are doing is just I hate to say it because it's such a bad topic, but to get you two together working on it, okay, is so powerful and so important these days. And Terry said, you know, we expect teachers to do everything, all right, and they need all the help they can get, and they need this, they need My Life is Worth Living and that kind of resource to show in quick bites. Okay, to the kids, it makes an impact, okay, on a crazy schedule, on a busy day, okay, for a kid, let alone an adult. So this is really just wonderful stuff. Terry, how many schools are using your Wonder Media products? I just never heard of it, so I'm just thrilled to blow about it.
Well, I think we're in 8,000 schools now, and we also have a product called Wonder Media Storymaker, and it's really teaching kids to write. We install an animation studio in the school, and we actually work with the kids. And when they can write a script and they can have an animated character say it out loud, it's amazing how they begin to understand how important sentence structure is, and grammar and punctuation. Because if they're, you know, in a voice session with an actor, you know, if it's not on the page, it's not going to be interpreted in the cartoon. So they begin to understand when they, because writing, oh, I got to write, I don't take English, oh, God. But if I can make an animated character talk with my words.
Exactly.
Kids run the school with Storymakers. You know, and for middle school, when kids are completely disconnected in middle school, our middle school teachers that have used Storymaker find that they can teach any subject by having their students actually, instead of writing a paper, write a script and have the animated characters talk about it.
You can teach a Declaration of Independence. You can teach anything. You can teach trigonometry with it.
They love it.
And actually, it would have been better because I am visually oriented. Okay, and had my stupid math teachers realized, of course, this was back in the 1800s, okay, had they been able to animate it for me, and I'm being quite serious here, okay, it would have made all the difference in the world towards understanding. Because I'm better at remembering I can barely tear duct tape in a straight line. I didn't do well in GM. Thank God I can do that, you know. But what you're saying, and animation says it all, I meant to ask you both something. When you did this, we have a lot of kids in schools who are facing big trauma, okay, who speak only Spanish, only Arabic. There's a million languages out there. And Ed or Terry, whoever wants to answer this, what about for kids who have trouble with English? By the way, I'm going to say video helps right off the bat. I'm thinking like silent movies. They worked no matter what language you were watching them in. They didn't have a language. They were video. They were silent. Okay, so they made sense universally. How about this? What's going on language-wise? And I better ask that question.
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are actually, all of our episodes will be dubbed into Spanish, Mandarin, Japanese, and Portuguese.
There you go. That's great.
So that gets us. That gets us along the way to a big part of the country, to the world, and we'll eventually add some other languages, but we're going to start with those five.
Yeah, and I'm glad I asked that question just to me because this is so important. Those kids, you know, kids of color were really troubled. We forget this now that we're kind of inching our way back in. People of color got really nailed during this pandemic, okay, and they're traumatized, okay, and you know, that's so wonderful that you guys are doing this. Terry, I'm going to be in touch. And, Ann, you know you are always welcome here. Always.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Larry.
Well, I think you're wonderful.
Thanks
you know
for
that.
Having us on. And
anytime.
You know, just watch the episodes. Our goal is
I'm going to. And thank you so much for introducing everybody to Terry. Not that he needed this introduction. He's world famous. Okay, but this is the end. This is the pinnacle of his life, being on Education Talk Radio. Right, Terry? Would that be
yes,
correct?
It is. Yes. You know, I said to my wife today, I made it.
Yes,
I'm on the Larry Jacobs Show.
You're here. Yeah, now what? There's nothing left.
I'm going to have post-talk show melancholy now.
Yeah, there you go. It's a traumatic syndrome. Let me talk. I'll talk you out of it. We will be talking soon again, my friend. Thank you both.
Thank you, Larry.
Both of you have wonderful days, and thanks for the great work you
do.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Larry. Bye.
Ann Brown, my good friend who's president of the Cook Center. What a great lady, CEO and president of Cook Center for Human Connections, cookcenter.org. And Terry, I'm so glad I know Terry. Where'd he come from? Wonder Media, W-O-N-D-E-R. Wonder Media, Terry Thorin. You can look all that up. And, wow, what can I say? The man responsible for Rugrats. There you go. All right, the wild Thornberries and all that. What great stuff. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. And please check out, it's a new website. We're just getting it together, but it looks pretty darn good, SEL today. If you go over to ace-ed, you'll be able to read our magazine, Equity and Access. Thanks for listening. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, ace-ed.org. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.